The hunt had been underway for 3 days when Captain Peter Hammerstedt peered closely at his radar screen. Ever since he had piloted his ship, the Bob Barker, out of port in Hobart, Australia, Hammerstedt had scanned this desolate patch of Antarctic waters, searching among the icebergs that peppered the horizon of the Southern Ocean. As he stood on the bridge on the evening of December 17, 2014, 3 red blips drifted across the radar. He studied them carefully. 2 moved slowly with the current, and it was clear they were icebergs. But the 3rd was different, moving steadily in the opposite direction. Hammerstedt slid the Bob Barker closer. In the perpetual daylight of the Antarctic summer, the spotter in the crow's nest overhead saw a flock of seabirds wheeling and diving behind a distant fishing trawler. Hammerstedt grabbed for a binder. Inside was Interpol's purple notice list of the world's worst maritime fishing scofflaws and the telltale silhouettes of the vessels. Hammerstedt leafed through until he found the profile for the world's most notorious fishing scofflaw, a Nigerian-flagged 202-foot ship called the Thunder. Peering at the fishing trawler, now about 3 miles in the distance, he confirmed that the ship had the same outline as the Thunder. He smiled, paused for a moment, then punched the alarm, 5 short blasts, alerting the crew to man their stations. Hammerstedt had found his prey. Born in Stockholm, Hammerstedt joined Sea Shepherd at 18, shortly after high school. Lanky and baby-faced, he looked more like Howdy Doody than Blackbeard. He was stiffer and more formal than one might expect from a 30-year-old who'd spent over a decade at sea. Even his one-paragraph emails had proper punctuation and indentation. Prone to meticulously arranging his pencils and pens before starting work at his desk, he was an orderly man in a disorderly line of work. Hammerstedt had been on almost all of Sea Shepherd's major campaigns since 2003, including 10 missions chasing Japanese whalers in Antarctica. In his stern countenance, his crew saw a young man who took his job seriously and was always calm under fire. For Sea Shepherd, the pursuit of the Thunder was about more than exacting justice or protecting a disappearing species of fish. It was about adding teeth to the half-hearted policing of laws on the high seas. But even calling these laws half-hearted would be giving them more credit than they were due. For bad actors like the Thunder, the seas were a vast free-for-all. Largely hidden in the sheer expanse of the world's ocean, poachers had little reason to look over their shoulders. Offshore, laws were as murky as the watery boundaries are blurry, and most governments had neither the resources nor the interest to go chasing after them. At the time, Interpol's purple notice list comprised just 6 rogue ships that had evaded capture for decades and come to be nicknamed the Bandit 6, the only vessels in the world to earn this distinction. And for years, they'd operated with impunity. Hundreds of miles from the safety of shore, Hammerstedt and his crew were doing the perilous police work that governments would not. Even though the Thunder's officers were considered the world's worst fishing outlaws, no country was willing or able to chase them. But Hammerstedt's organization, the nonprofit maritime environmental group Sea Shepherd, took up the challenge. Deputizing themselves as pro bono bounty hunters, the group was hunting for the rogue vessel in this desolate patch of ocean at the bottom of the earth, deep in Antarctic waters. It was a battle of bold vigilantism against persistent criminality. On his radio, Hammerstedt raised Siddharth Chakravarti, the captain of a 2nd Sea Shepherd ship, the Sam Simon, which had left port late because of engine problems. Maritime camouflage striped both Sea Shepherd ships, with gaping shark jaws on the forward hull and a Jolly Roger knockoff flying over the prow, a skull with a trident crossed with a shepherd's hook. "I think we've found the Thunder," Hammerstedt said. There are several buoys in the water, and we have a visual ID on the vessel." As Hammerstedt crept closer at 3 knots, a crew member said he could read Thunder Lagos on the back of the trawler. Over the radio, Hammerstedt announced himself to his adversary. "Bob Barker.
Thunder, thunder, thunder. This is the Bob Barker. You are fishing illegally."
Thunder.
"Sorry, sorry. No English. Only Spanish."
Bob Barker. "That is very lucky, because hablo español también." Hammerstedt summoned a Spanish-speaking photographer to the bridge. She began translating.
"Bob Barker, you are fishing illegally. Do you have a license to fish?"
Thunder.
"We have a license. We have a license. The ship has a Nigerian flag, and we are sailing in international waters. Over."
Bob Barker. "You are fishing in Camelar Region 58.4.2, and we have an Interpol wanted notice on you."
Thunder. "We are on our way and are not fishing. Besides, what kind of ship is that? I see that you have a pirate flag. What is that?"
"Sea Shepherd is an international conservation police force," Hammerstedt said through the interpreter. "We intend to detain, arrest, in maritime parlance, the Thunder," he added.
Thunder. "No, no, no. Negative, negative. You have no authority to arrest this vessel. You have no authority to arrest this vessel. We are going to continue sailing. We are going to continue sailing, but you have no authority to arrest this ship. Over."
Bob Barker. "We have authority. We have reported your position to Interpol and Australian police."
Thunder. "Okay, okay, you can send our position, but you cannot board this vessel. You cannot arrest it. We are sailing in international waters, and we will continue."
Bob Barker. "We are going to follow you, and you are under arrest. Change course to Fremantle, Australia.